97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, welcome to the Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra. Oh my gosh, fabulous show in store for you today. I have the wonderful Kim Beals with me. Now, some of you might be familiar with Kim because she has two children who have gone through the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School systems, Kendall and Delaney. And Kim, we're going to be talking about college stuff. Kim, can you tell us a little bit about your girls, please?
Sure. They are very different, which I think is wonderful. So my oldest daughter, Kendall, she is a bio major at Dickinson College. She's a senior. And she really wanted to have the small school experience and out of state. And so we looked at, I was going to check before I got here, but I think about 22 schools, liberal arts schools.
And that's why we're talking to Kim today.
In New England, which, I mean, you could look at a lot more than that. And so she wanted to go outside the state, and she kind of had a good idea of what she was looking for. And then Delaney, she's a senior at Chapel Hill High, and she went on all the trips with Kendall, which was wonderful. That's one of the things that I would encourage parents to do, to bring your other children with you when you go on visits. And she was a little bit different. She was originally looking for a larger school, but then when we visited some, she changed her mind. So she's going to be going to in-state.
Fantastic. So what we're talking about today, as I'm sure you've gathered, is the college visit. And it is frequently a time during the spring and summer and occasionally the fall that we see a lot of families traveling around trying to find that perfect utopia for their young person. And Kim, I've worked with a lot of families over the years, and Kim is one of the most organized, detail-oriented people I know about this process, I know who have done this, and you had your own process. And that's really what we're going to be talking about, is kind of sharing that process with other people. So let's start by talking about, like you said, you had two very different kids.
Mm-hmm.
So did you approach the college visit the same way for both of them, or did you have a completely different approach because their personalities were different?
I kind of had a different approach, but like I said, the younger one had the advantage of going on all the mm-hmm. others, so she actually was sort of looking at them with her own mind at the same mm-hmm. time. I found that you really can't, the child, unless you have someone who's really, really motivated, the child's not going to really want to think about college or until maybe the junior year. And as a parent, you want them to do it sooner. If you're going to look at a lot, you can't fit it all in. So that's a challenge. So just doing, you know, the normal questions that you ask them, what kind of environment do you want, small, large, just those basic questions. Do you want to be in a city, or just those? Once we got sort of an idea, then we just, you know, did what everybody else does, looked on the website. I parked myself in Barnes & Noble lots and lots of weekends. I agreed to do that, to sort of do the initial gathering of schools, because mm-hmm. I knew what my daughter wanted. And then I kind of just presented her with some schools, and I said, okay, now it's up to you. You go look at the websites and see what grabs you, and then we'll make a list, and then we'll see, you know, how it shakes out for you, like if you have a good shot, or if there are reaches or targets or safeties. And then we came up with, you know, a list.
Okay, so let's break this down. You, first of all, the pre-work that went into this was your daughter kind of saying, and at this point it was Kendall.
Right.
Her saying, well, I think I'm interested in this, and she knew she wanted to study sciences.
Right, that's right.
Right. So you have a sense of her grade point average mm-hmm. and her test scores.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you do any work prior to that did you do anything with the common data set for the colleges?
Not really.
Okay. the common data set is just the data that shows who's been admitted to an incoming institution. And sometimes it can be really helpful if you know, for example, your student is in the top 40% of the class and the school traditionally takes the top 25% of the class. Then it helps you to kind of gauge where your student's going to fall in the admissions process.
Yeah, well, I will say that in staying at Barnes & Noble for lots of weekends, I mean, I did look at the normal books, mm-hmm. and which had the stats in there. And mm-hmm. so that sort of, once we got a list, that kind of showed us which category the school was in, if it mm-hmm. was a reach or a target or a safety.
And that's important to know, because you don't want to go traipsing around to a bunch of schools that aren't even, you know, maybe they're all reaches, and maybe, you know, that's good to visit a couple, but to spend all your time in that category may not be well worth your money. So, okay, so you had Kendall kind of lay out what she was interested in doing. I know now, because I know Kendall and I know your family, that she's thinking about graduate school. Was that in her mind prior to this? Prior to college?
Yeah, I think that's always been in her mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, did she want the Northeast? Did you want the Northeast? Like, how did the Northeast come to be the...
Well, that's kind of funny, because I'm from the North. I'm from Connecticut. My husband's from New York. So we had always, you know, said how much we enjoyed it. And, you know, I didn't think she was listening, really.
That's actually a really good point you bring up, though. A lot of parents don't think their kids are listening.
Right.
They're not realizing they're listening a lot closer than you think.
Right. So she really wanted to go out of state, and she just wanted to try something different. And so we targeted all the Northeast from Virginia up through Maine. And as far over, Pennsylvania, I think, was the farthest over, though we did look at some schools in Ohio. But, yeah, and I mean, there's so many small liberal arts schools that was a good area to look, because they're very concentrated.
So when you were planning your trips, did you base it then on concentrations?
Well, we did a couple of trips, so... We did some local trips initially this was kind of before she realized what size she wanted.
Yep.
So we did a trip in Virginia where we saw a small, a medium, and a large.
Which ones did you see?
UVA, University of Richmond, and William & Mary.
Okay, so you're doing the small is University of Richmond,
right.
Medium William & Mary, large UVA.
Right.
Okay.
And so that kind of gave her an idea. That was the earliest visits mm-hmm. that we ever did. So that just gave her an idea of which size she wanted.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that was a good way to do it, because they were all, we did it on a weekend.
That's a lot of driving in a weekend, though, to do Richmond, Williamsburg, and then Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, then we did our big trip was in the summer of the junior year. Now, I know that ideally it's best to see the schools when the students are there.
Yeah.
But sometimes that just doesn't work out. And so we did do this big New England trip where we went, I think, to 5 states and 9 schools or something. So.
Okay. 5 states, 9 schools. How long were you gone?
I think I was gone 2 weeks.
So did you have a max, like we're only going to see?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you break that out?
Okay. So I only like to do 1 school a day.
Okay.
Because I think it's really important to give that school your best look. And it's not really fair to the school or to your child to cram in more than 1 school a day.
I think you'd be exhausted.
I mean, you can do it like when you go to Boston, you can see, you know, 3 of those. Mm-hmm. You could do it in 1 day, but it's too hard. So what I did is I would drive to the – people are going to think this is kind of obsessive, but I would drive to the school, try to get there the day before the interview. And I will say that she had interviews at every single school.
So you arranged the interviews prior to going.
Yes. We always did an interview, a campus tour, and an information session.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, so that's a full day when you do that.
Oh, that is totally a full day. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get more tips for learning how to do the perfect college tour. You are listening to the Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra. Be sure to follow us on Twitter because we're saying all kinds of amazing and inspirational things, and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Kim Beals. We are talking about how to do the perfect college visit. And Kim, you are just such the expert on this. So where we just left off was you saying that prior to doing, you did one school per day, and prior to the day that you did the tour, you would go the day before and make sure you knew where admissions was.
Right.
Okay. So then for each school you visited, you did an interview, a campus tour, and what else did you do?
An information session.
An information session with a student that would take you around and show you?
The information session is usually done by the admissions rep.
That's right.
Who's doing that. Yeah. And so they're going to talk about the application process.
That's
they're
right.
going to try to sell you on the school, of course. that's their big priority. And then there's going to be a financial aid component usually of it, too.
And one thing to keep in mind, because you bring up a really good point, Kim, schools are businesses. They are trying to either make money or at least pay their staff. So they really are trying to sell you for a few different reasons. One, because they genuinely want you to go there. Two, because they have great programs that may work with your kids. And three, the more people they can get to apply, the more money they get, and the higher their ranking in the U.S. News and World Report. So there's a, you know, just tons of reasons why they want you to apply to those schools.
Right.
Okay, so you did nine schools 1 week?
I think over the 2 week period.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
All right, so kind of walk us through that process. Did you start in Boston?
No, we started in New Jersey. From New Jersey, we went to Connecticut, and then Connecticut, we went to, I think, Maine, and then saw two colleges there, and then Massachusetts, a couple, over to New York, back to Pennsylvania, and back down.
Okay, so I'm just kind of imagining you driving your car. Which I actually, this is a good segue into that. Car time. Did you find the car time with your kids to be a value?
Yeah, I mean, I tried not to talk about colleges in the car. So that was really just free time for them to do whatever they want. I had my younger daughter was coming too. And we even did, I know this is kind of hokey, but I kind of, you know how you can write on markers on the car, kids do that for school or whatever. Yeah. So I did that with states. And I put little boxes next to like the state, and when we finished it, I would put a little checkbox. And we took a picture like next to the car before we went, and then when we came back. So it's kind of a fun, you know, just a record of what we did.
That is. And you could even do that with colleges that you're going to see.
Uh-huh.
You know, check them off. Did you write it on the window or did you write it on the car?
I wrote it on the window.
Okay.
So I'm sure, and I think I put like Kendall's Big College Tour or something like that. And then I had on the back window, and then I had the states on the side. So.
Oh, how fun.
So it was kind of a fun way to do it.
Oh, that is. Well, what you're doing, and honestly, what I want people to hear from the show is that this process can be such a fun and bonding experience.
We had a ball. I mean, we really did. You know, we tried to, whenever we were in some place, sometimes if we got there early, we tried to do something. So, for example, when we saw Connecticut College, that is near the water. So we got there early. We went to the beach for the day. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there was like a antique car show that came later that day. So we did all that before we saw the college. And to me, that's the whole point, is that that's why I like to get there early, because I don't know if that's the college that my daughter's going to want.
Right.
And so I want her to envision her in the community as well. So I try to leave, you know, spots for, you know, walking around town or going to a restaurant, or so that she can just get a better picture of what it's like to be there.
That is such wonderful advice, because you can kind of breathe when you're not trying to do so much in such a short time.
Right.
And when you can breathe into a space, you can see yourself in there.
Right.
So what I have heard, and I've worked with so many different families, is that the college car time tends to be one of the parents' favorite times. And just some stories I've heard, sometimes families will travel together, and you'll have, you know, two moms and two kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that the backseat conversations after, you know, kids have seen different colleges together are really fascinating for the parents.
Well, I will say that my younger one would, even though it wasn't her trip,
yep,
she would know right off the bat. So she would say, like, I don't like this. But Kendall, the one who was looking,
right,
she was the more indecisive one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my sister came for part of the trip, and I had to coach her because she was very vocal on one particular school. And I had to tell her, I said, it is not your job to determine if you like it. I had to caution her several times. I'm like, be quiet. I'm like, that's not your choice. I don't want you to influence her. So.
Well, and that's also a very interesting approach, because you really, as a parent, we're trying to let Kendall and Delaney decide which was the best fit for them. And I do think it's hard from a parenting perspective to not try to influence that choice one way or another.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, I had to, you know, just remind myself several times not to say anything.
So. And you are a good woman for that.
Although I will say I ask questions, you know, during the tours and things. So that is the one thing that I did do. But I would not give my opinion when the tour, when we were done.
Okay. So I just have to ask, what were some of the tour things that you liked and that you didn't like? And even school, like, did you have certain schools that you really liked the tours, certain schools that you didn't? Did you find differences in the tour guides? Because I've also heard that makes a huge difference.
It does. It does. If you don't, I will say it, like William and Mary, we had a terrible, I mean, she was awful. And that made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. We didn't like the school.
Oh, and that William and Mary's hard to like.
Yeah, and she, you know, it was awful. Whereas, you know, UVA, the kids were so impressive. They were almost too impressive that it was intimidating.
Okay.
Because they were, you know, overachievers.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think having the right tour guide makes a big difference. It can make a big impression on the student and the parent.
Absolutely. And I've heard and read just so many examples of how one tour guide has made the decision for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were on the fence or they didn't know a lot about the school, and then they see this student who's absolutely in love with it.
It's right.
Like that becomes so contagious. And then what were some of your favorite tours?
I will say where she went. I mean, Dickinson had a great, we went there twice.
So you did a double visit.
We did.
Okay.
We did. So
how many schools did you double visit?
She went to two schools twice.
It almost sounds like you're shopping for a house.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the first time we saw Dickinson, it was 14 degrees below zero. And I liked it immediately as soon as I stepped on it. I mean, I knew that was the right school for her, but I didn't say anything. I can remember calling my mother up and saying, I felt, you know, I got the school for Kendall. But I didn't ever say anything to her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good tour. You know, just when the student is more engaged and the tour guide is more engaged and they're willing to take your questions. And also, if they don't, some schools, the tour is so humongous, like they have so many students that you can't get your questions asked, which I think is frustrating.
And intimidating.
Yeah.
To see, oh, I'm one of all these people who's going to be applying, and this person next to me looks really, really impressive. I think that would be.
Yeah, and I will say one school, it happened to be a very rainy summer, which is unusual when we were looking at all the schools. So one school in New York, it was just, I mean, like pouring. I mean,
oh, and so, they still have to do the tour.
And I asked them, I said, could we cut this short? And no, she was on her little path, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, so... We left that one. I was like, okay, we're done.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then I have a question for you about that. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra talking with Kim Beals. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Kim Beals, mother of two young ladies. I guess they're not young. Kendall is graduating from college, and Delaney is a senior at Chapel Hill High. And we're talking about how to conduct the perfect college tour. Now, when we just left, you were talking about the mother instinct in you and the tour guides walking backwards. Did you ever let your children tour the campus on their own without you?
Not so much as that, but I would say that if a tour was over and one of them really liked the school, I would say, you know, do you want to go somewhere and do something? And I would let them do that. I do find that I did try to allow this, and I kind of look to my children to determine how much time they want to stay at the school. So I know people do this, but I don't like it. I never, even when when we'd step on the campus on a couple of them and we knew that it wasn't the right school, we still did everything because I don't think that's fair. You know, they're taking time out of their schedule and they have you scheduled and everything. So we still did everything, but it would mean that we might have left right after the tour and the interview. But if they liked it, especially Kendall, then we would kind of hang out on campus, and we would try to hang out of where the students hung out. So there's always like a little place. It's not the cafeteria, but it's like a little place where kids hang out and they get coffee or whatever. And we would just hang out there. We'd get usually like a student newspaper or whatever, and that would be when Kendall could go and talk to someone or just kind of get a feel as to what it's like to be there. So we did that on several that she liked.
I think that's so important because it's like the vibe. They can kind of pick up the energy of the campus that way when they're not, you know, trying to follow the backwards walking tour guide and they're going to fall over. I can completely understand why that would be a concern. So from your daughter's perspective, what were they looking for on these tours?
Well, I mean, the first question she always wanted was, how good was your abroad program? That was really high up there for her.
And what did she constitute as good? Because that's such a hard to qualify word.
Well, one is because she's a bio major. Some schools actually don't have anything available for science majors abroad. I mean, I think that's maybe expanding. You'd probably know better than I would. But I know one school didn't have it. But, you know, as we learned later, that wasn't really their concentration. So whether or not they have programs that she would be interested in bio. So that was important to her. She would always ask that question. I forgot your question. I'm sorry.
What was she looking for when she went on a tour?
Oh, and then also, like, she wanted to see how good the bio labs were. I mean, that was important to her to see the facilities. She also liked, I hope she doesn't mind that I'm saying this, she also liked an attractive campus. I mean, that was important to her. So she wanted it to be attractive. And she, because she also wasn't going to have a car, neither of my children have a car, accessibility. So would she be able to get things either by walking or is there going to be a shuttle or, you know, that's important to her. And is she within a good distance to, you know, a city or a large metropolitan area, and how can she get there? So those are things that she was looking at. She's also a tennis player, so she's looking at the tennis courts. I mean, she's looking at that. And the dorms. I mean, Delaney, my younger one, doesn't care about the dorms.
Oh, my, which is interesting.
Yeah, I know. I was like, come on, I want to see a dorm. But Kendall did. Like, the physical plant was important to her. So,
well, and again, to use the analogy I used earlier of purchasing a house, it is a place you're going to be living for right. 4 years. And even, of course, you're not going to be living in the dorm for 4 years, but the physical space is going to be where you are located and mm-hmm. moving around. Dickinson impressed you with their labs?
Yes, they actually had just, I don't know, I think it was the year that she was going to be a freshman. They had just finished a big science building.
Yep.
And they're actually just, this is a plug for the school, I guess, they're actually expanding on that. And they also just put in a brand new greenhouse. So their science facility was one of the best ones that we saw. I'd say maybe there was one other school that was comparable, but...
Which school was that?
I think Colby had a really good science mm-hmm. Building and everything. And we also would always look at the library. So, you know, if a library looked at a date to me, that really just, that was a no for me in the no box.
So you were looking for libraries.
Well, I was looking for the physical plan to see how things were kept up because yeah. it's a private school and I'm thinking I'm paying all this money.
Right.
I expect yeah. things to be in yeah. good shape.
Yeah.
You know, I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of them I went to, they didn't. And then that was a negative in my column because yeah. I'm like, okay, that means that maybe their alumni isn't so strong. And then what does that mean if their alumni is not as strong and they're not giving as much? And
So you drew all kinds of conclusions.
Yeah, so I was kind of whether or not that's right or not. But yeah, if I'm paying for that amount of money, I want... you know, the classrooms and the equipment and all those things to be, you know, in good shape.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that surprises people is, and this is true also in the workforce, sometimes the high schools have better facilities than
right.
colleges or even, you know, some of the technology in particular, some of the private sector, mm-hmm. because there's funding for it in
right.
different ways. I remember a friend of mine who worked for the armed services saying he didn't realize that the computers, he thought he would have state-of-the-art stuff, and it wasn't necessarily what he would thought, but it was government issued, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
So, okay. So when you were looking at these schools, knowing that your oldest daughter was going to go to graduate school, how was she benchmarking the process in her mind as to how it was going to work with that long-term goal in mind?
You know, I don't know if she really made that leap. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think she went and said, I mean, I think she did look at the rates for, you know, how many students go on to graduate school
yeah.
and things like that. I mean, I think we looked at those stats. But beyond that, I don't think she was looking at anything like okay. that.
Well, I want to put in a plug for that because I do think when you are looking at a school, it's very important to pay attention not just to the number of students who are going to graduate school, but also the competitiveness of the school itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring this up is because sometimes it's in a student's best interest to go to a school where they're going to be a big fish in a small pond because they're going to rank higher in the class than they would at a larger school or one of the more competitive schools where they would be one of many fish.
Right.
And I do think that people get caught up sometimes in the name recognition of a school and think, oh, that's a really great school. Everybody who goes there gets a good education, blah, 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 without realizing that unless your child's really going to be working super hard and all that kind of stuff, they may come in at the middle of the class.
And right.
That can close doors.
Now, I will say that, you know, where she is, it's a small school, and she has taken every advantage that she can. So, I mean, I feel like our money was yeah. well worth it. And, in fact, this is her last semester, and she's a TA, which is very unusual, I think, at an undergraduate level.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's also at the same time helping another professor with bio research. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think she would have gotten those if
right.
she had even gone to like a school that was 5,000 maybe.
Right.
And I think this was one of the things that she was looking for, that she was going to get individual attention, that she would have that relationship with some professors as she,
yes.
you know, progressed and got older. And I know that's just going to help her because, you know, they've helped her with recommendations for internships and everything. And so it's really worked out really great for her.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back in a minute. And I want to talk about some of the differences in schools because you bring up a really good point there. In the meantime, if you have a moment, go to our website, theartofpotential.com. We have some very exciting seminars coming up. On getting hired and other things. Also follow us on Twitter at Art of Potential. Like us on Facebook. You are listening to the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to the Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is the Art of Potential Show. This is Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with Kim Beals, and we're talking about how to do the perfect college visit. And Kim, how many colleges would you say that you have visited between your daughters Delaney and Kendall? College campuses have you been to?
Probably like 26 or something.
So that's a pretty good taste of college campuses, I would say, of coffee shops on college campuses, libraries, and other things. So in your opinion, what are some of the differences you see between large and small campuses?
Well, of course, the main thing is the class size. I mean, that's the main difference. And the small schools, they're all going to be taught by professors, so there's no TAs. That was really important to me and actually really important to Kendall, too, that she work with the professor. And I will say that some of the larger schools, like I think UVA, I thought they did kind of a nice combination between the two, that for some of the really large, some of the really large classes, it would be taught by, I can't remember now, maybe by a TA, but they would be grouped in smaller sections and the professor would be involved. So it didn't seem like it was that bad to me. They had sort of a combination of the two.
Carolina does it a lot. Mm-hmm. Like the class is taught by the professor.
Right.
And then you
okay,
have
I had
breakout
it backwards.
Sessions.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, that was it. I had it backwards. But I would say like the advantage of a large school to me would be you have a lot more courses on your selection, whereas a small school you might not have as many.
That's true.
And I know Kendall had difficulty getting in some of her classes, and sometimes she had to, you know, prove why she wanted to get in. Like, you know, she's not an environmental major, but she wanted to take this environmental class, and you had to kind of, you know, prove to the professor why you wanted to take that. So I would say that's where an advantage of a large school is. I think they have a lot more classes to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you mentioned before is that there are more opportunities for her to get those special experiences with a professor on the small school that unless you have like a super duper outstanding student who's going to go grab it and be very assertive really to get those because you're, you know, going against everybody, that she was noticed by the professor. She didn't seek out the TA or the research. They both came to her, which was wonderful.
And what a compliment to her. That's a huge compliment to her that the professors would see her and say, that's who I want to have working for me. I'm just going to comment on that, too, because I actually went to two different colleges for my undergrad. I went to Hope College in Holland, Michigan, and I joke that I went there to get my MRS degree because that's where everybody in my family went to find their spouse. And I, funny enough, did find my spouse there. And the mascot is the Flying Dutchman, and my husband's name is Hans Heemstra, and I always think he could have been like the school mascot. But then I transferred from Hope to Carolina, and I had grown up in the community, so I was much more familiar with that, and the culture just kind of fit me better than Western Michigan did. But one of the things about Hope College that I really did like, first of all, there was tradition. Ironically, I had one of the same professors my father had, so that was funny in its own sense. But the professors all knew the names of the students. And that was, I didn't realize what a big deal that was until I went to Carolina. And they had no idea who I was. That was my social security number.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how they do things. But there very much was a sense of community within the college, too. And I do think smaller schools tend to have some more of that.
Right.
Because that's just the way they're set up. And I know I actually worked at George Mason as well, and they were trying to build that into the staff. But you never have their faculty, they don't have a faculty meeting of all the professors and everyone right. at the same time. So it's a different culture that way. And when I transferred to Carolina and had, you know, one of my big lecture hall classes, it really was very interesting because you are much more on your own.
Right.
You are doing it on your own. And, you know, if you slip through the cracks, it's, you know, no one's really going to notice.
Right.
So that there was a nice transition, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's advantages and disadvantages mm-hmm. to both. And it's really hopefully up to the student to mm-hmm. figure out which environment is going to make them most
Absolutely.
Successful. And ultimately, that's what I want for my children, to mm-hmm. put them in a school that's going to challenge them, but not overly, you know, not be unreachable.
Right.
So that I want them to also partake in all the other things that activities and social interactions that college can have for them. But, you know, hopefully they'll decide which environment they'll succeed in best.
Absolutely. And they do get a feel for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really do. And to your point, just with the programs that are offered, one of the things that Carolina offered was, for me anyway, a major in anthropology, which a smaller school doesn't have.
Right.
Now, I was more like your youngest, Delaney, and then I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I did kind of a little taste here and a little taste there, unlike Kendall, who kind of knew what she wanted.
Right.
So in that regard, having a bigger environment was nice, because mm-hmm. that anthropology actually
right.
is just the study of all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. So tell me about Delaney's college experience, because she's now looking at an in-state school.
Right.
How is that?
Well, we started totally different. So she originally wanted to go into an urban environment.
Okay.
So, and a larger school, although I would say the size that she wanted, I told her that the school really didn't exist. So like a, you know, 5,000. So, I mean, that's a really hard school to find unless mm-hmm. it's a, you know, sometimes a state school or something. Mm-hmm. So we looked at some, you know, schools in D.C. like American and George yep. Washington. And then we went up to Boston and we saw the three schools there. So Northeastern, Boston College, and Boston University.
What's your favorite out of those?
Boston College is my favorite.
You have a thing for Boston College.
I love Boston College. I think they're impressive.
What about Boston College impresses you the most?
I think the way that they seem like they were concerned with the student, which is it was more of a holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just looking at them as a student, to get good grades or anything. It's really to, help them become a mature adult, and they're kind of involved in all of that for them.
That's
and
that, nice.
That's what impressed me. Yeah. I will say that I didn't see that really, or the way they presented it. I didn't see that anywhere else that mm-hmm. I saw. So that's what put them different from mm-hmm. me. And the location is great. You get all the advantages of being near Boston, but they're kind of like on the, you know, the last line of the T on one end of the city. And mm-hmm. so you have this great campus, which seems like it's kind of like a regular college campus, not a city campus, but then you have the advantages of Boston right there.
Yeah.
So
that sounds a little bit like American in terms of being off in a nice
uh-huh.
campus and on its
yeah.
own.
Yeah. But I think then when we did all that, you know, she really started to think about it mm-hmm. and think, gee, I don't think I really want to be in an urban environment. I mean, mm-hmm. that's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that comes with a whole different types of savviness and confidence. And then she also started to think that she wanted, you know, a smaller class size. So then that sort of changed the whole focus. And we, you know, she applied for App in Asheville, and then she's thinking of, right now anyway, secondary education, like a middle school science teacher. And so Asheville has a really great education program. And
yep.
we went up there for their, I don't know if it's called a preview day or whatever, but it's an expanded day where you can, you know, they give a presentation and then you can go talk to some department heads. And she talked to the head of the Department of Education, and that really kind of sold her.
That was it.
Yeah.
again, the takeaway message from this show is there's so much family bonding that can happen around the college admissions process
and
getting it. And really do take advantage of it because, you know, what better time to really connect deeply with your kids. So, you have just listened to The Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra and Kim Beals. Kim, thank you so much.
You're my pleasure.
Wonderful guest. Please take a moment and follow us on Twitter @Art of Potential or like us on Facebook and see what we're doing.